Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What I've seen from him pitching, I mean, it's a riding fastball that gets on you, you know, and he's been throwing 95, 96 in the AAA games. You usually see guys kick up as they start to come back up here as well, so... I think he feels good fastball wise. The breaking ball looks really good. It's been consistent where he wants to throw it in the zone and then to chase.
Middays on the Score.
Cubs pitching coach Tommy Hotovy with his assessment of Cubs closer Craig Kimbrell. Top of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Western Conference champion Chicago Wolves would like to thank their loyal fans for making this 25th anniversary so special. Thank you and see you in October.
I know that Kimbrell doesn't help the offense all that much. It certainly adjusts the bullpen and what Joe Maddon is able to do with it. Maybe just how aggressive he's willing to be with some of his guys, some of his circle of trust guys. I was thinking about Kimbrell a lot the first couple of days after the Cubs signed him. You know, we were on the air with Theo Epstein the day the Cubs announced the signing of Craig Kimbrell. He was at the ballpark. They did the press conference. We were in the right field bleachers broadcasting, and Theo was nice enough to come up and hang out with us for a little while, talk about the signing, what it meant for the ball club. We'll have Jed Hoyer on at 11 the day that Kimbrell is added to the Cubs roster. I can't promise that he'll pitch today. Maybe the Cubs win by 15 or the Braves win by 15 and you don't have an opportunity to throw a guy in like that. But I have to imagine that he's fully armed and operational as a battle station. Ask Jed Hoyer about it when we've got him on. Again, that's at 11.
Is he going to destroy Alderaan?
I think so. Yeah, okay. I think so. And probably swing around on Dantooine. Realize that's not too much of a target, a military target. So we've got to name the system and then head to Yavin 4 or something like that to blow it up. But I figure with Kimbrell, and I told you this, I think it was after the week. It was the weekend series, right? We had him on Friday. The announcement was Friday. And I spent pretty much the whole weekend watching those Cubs games, feeling remarkably different about the last, I don't know, five outs or so. Just knowing that it's not more comfortable with it necessarily, but just knowing that this is not how it will look in X amount of days. And I realized that went away for me fairly quickly as Joe Maddon and others kind of redirected my attention to the offense and as many ground balls as they've hit, as many runs as they've failed to produce, as many homers that have come with not enough men on base. Even still, I've watched this bullpen over the last 10, 12 days or something and really kind of thought, like, this is different. Like, this is just experiment right now. And it's such a strange way to watch a team that had some bullpen struggles last year with mostly the same guys, knowing that it's all going to be different.
It puts me in a weird place when you talk about how you feel and how we feel about watching this team and whether or not that matters and what matters in how the players themselves feel and how that affects the way they do their jobs. We now know that it's those of us who have been very objective heavy, very data heavy, very metrics heavy, can sometimes miss on what teams are looking at now with the psychology of their players. The teams themselves believe it really matters how they think and how they feel.
It's possible that we were too screamy about feelings.
That's this sort of thing is important to teams now, and they're trying to understand it and trying to find value in a way that is not measurable. And we have to just let it go and allow that there are things that are not measurable. So a Cub walking into the clubhouse today and seeing Craig Kimbrell in uniform, is that guy thinking differently about his job? Is he approaching what he does in a different way? Is he going about his preparation differently? Is he more focused? Is there that validation, that understanding of the fact that he's here, the fact that commitment was made is an expression that there is belief in you in this clubhouse? And I don't know if it makes a damn bit of difference, but I know that teams think it does.
It might. and it might not, and there's really no way to ever measure it. Do you remember when the Astros traded for Justin Verlander, just like minutes, really technically it was after the deadline, but they let it pass through because it was too good a story for Major League Baseball to not have happen? But remember Dallas Keuchel, who pitched last night for the Braves against the Cubs, and did a pretty damn good job. Dallas Keuchel just aired out Astros management for not going after somebody and adding someone at the deadline when they thought they had a real good team and a chance to win a World Series. And you know they didn't do it. There was a lot of hemming and hawing. It seemed like there was some real animosity between at least a number of Astros stalwarts and management. Like there was a thing going on. Then a couple weeks later, just before the waiver deadline, they add Justin Verlander, and Keuchel talked about it then, and other Astros did. There was a jolt that ran through that clubhouse. Whether that matters in terms of production, especially for a team that was as good as they were anyway, I have no idea. But it clearly affects the way players think about their position. And if, not their individual position, but the teams. And if anybody, any one guy walks in there and goes, it's go now. Because we got the arm guy, you know, we got the guy with the thing.
Remember that feeling when Schwarber did what he did when he went out there and hanged his arm towards the hanged.
It would be hung his arm, right?
Hanged.
You don't want to be hanged.
No, hanged. You the other one you want to be.
Yeah, hung. Yeah, that's right. Good. Yeah. Hanged, not so good. That's not a good thing. We couldn't possibly work him in.
I'm booked solid.
But that's
Robert Ridgely.
You mentioned how to use Craig Kimbrell, and you were also very deliberate with the way you pronounced Craig Kimbrell.
I have to be because Ozzy gave us a great one.
A former Major League manager, Ozzy Guillen, who was on with Mully and Haw this morning with Luke Kinnella sitting in for Mike. This is how Ozzy thought about how to use the Craig Kimbrell.
Wow, to me, going to be pain in the head because I know every media going to go to the ballpark to ask me about Kimbrell. And Joe, I know Joe is ready for that, but I think it's going to help. I think they got now, they can move the game a little bit shorter with the starters. They've been doing that all year long, pitching five innings, four innings. Have a Kimbrell every day, all the sun, everybody in the bullpen move down a lot. And then from there, I think the game could be quicker.
A texter said he spelled it Creambell.
Creambell.
See, I heard it as Crimbo or Crimbo.
I mispronounced Craig Kimbrell's name so badly yesterday that it affected a word I said after Craig Kimbrell.
Yeah, you had an after effect.
Like, that's how much you have to think about that man's name. I did not imagine that and the Cubs were approaching signing him. I just didn't think of it.
And every time I type it, I want to add an extra L.
There are nine L's in Kimbrell, as far as I'm concerned.
Remember, Kimbrell pitched a few years
I just keep on,
in Boston. He pitched in the World Series, pitched in the playoffs.
I just keep on tapping L's until it looks right on the page.
It's only one L.
It's only one.
It's Kimbrell with one L, or as Ozzy calls him,
Kimbrell.
Kimbrell. Kimbrell.
As long as he's throwing 95 and striking guys out, I think it's fine. We'll just make the best effort we can to get Craig Kimbrell right.
Bill on Capitol Hill, you're on the score. Welcome to Bernstein and McKnight.
Hello, lads. Hey. How's the empire?
Creamball.
Today, maybe marginally, temporarily better?
Right, so. Well, let me see what I can do to derail things. Just as a sidebar, like Ozzy sounds like the cousin from Tom and Jerry who sings the country song.
Yes, Froggy Winnicourton.
He did. Creamball. You guys are talking about the pressure cooker of the Cubs and how we sort of get our arms around these more subjective feelings. It occurs to me, and I'm not a Cub fan, so I don't care what happens to them, but I think it's an interesting experiment because Wrigley Field doesn't get the credit it deserves as a pressure cooker, right? Oh, that, yeah. it still sort of has this reputation of this warm and fuzzy place, but the fact is, when you lose a game at Wrigley Field, like, you're crushing the hopes of, like, 40 Make-A-Wish kids who are about to die, right? Like, and like all these little
only
here,
you were Bill.
I mean, having a packed park where they live and die by every run, like, it's like being the frog in the boiling water, right? That you don't realize that you're in danger until it's too late. And I think, for all those who are sort of looking forward to the post Madden era, if they exist, I mean, careful what you wish for. I mean, because you can't bring in a red ass who's gonna, you need somebody who's gonna be chill. And I think I mean, the one advantage they seem to have is, you know, of all people who can understand that, it would seem to me to be the Epstein and Hoyer. I mean, who's the other man? I mean, those guys, when they were at Fenway, it was a similar situation, but at least it was openly acknowledged that, it really sucks sometimes to have to live with that pressure.
Bill, that's something. Appreciate the phone call, man. And lighten up for me. Well, yeah, that's a real rough way to start the morning. I love Bill. I think that's one of the things. And I keep bringing my attention back to it because I think a lot of people forgot. When Anthony Rizzo spoke about Wrigley Field after winning the World Series in 2016, he mentioned it. He said it out loud that leaving Wrigley Field in that series, I think it was it after the Josh Tomlin game where he strikes out Javi Baez on a high fastball that I think still, I still thought he was going to hit the thing. Rizzo mentioned how much they needed to get out of Wrigley Field. He mentioned how much the atmosphere is different. He talked about what that place did to the, not what it can do, not what it feels like. He mentioned what it did to them. Now, even still, that's a subjective measurement. Even still, that's Rizzo taking his own feelings and assuming that everybody else had the same kind of sense of doom and gloom, which is subjective as it is. But that dude wore pinstripes during those seven games, and we didn't, you know? And he's talking about what it meant to have been in that bandbox at times.
It gets heavy.
And have that kind of weight around you. I get it. I understand it.
Len Casper has always said that Wrigley Field is a unique amplifier of emotions, for better or for worse. Mm-hmm. That there's something that goes on in that building, the shared experience there, the way people interact with their team in that building. He said even if it's a meaningless game at the end of a lost season in September or a post-clinch game, he said no matter what it is, it doesn't matter in the moment because everything feels like it means more than maybe it does. And that can wear on a team over time. There's no doubt. Hey, I've got today's lineup.
And, oh, do you? All right.
Yeah, do you have a barf bag with you, by the way?
Not with me. Okay, I would
suggest that you fashion one out of the various papers in front of you.
All right.
You might need it. This is your Cubs lineup today.
Oh.
Behind Tyler Chatwood. In support of Tyler Chatwood, you've got Kyle Schwarber in left, Chris Bryant in third. Anthony, later, Ozzie. Creamball will come in.
And whoa! That's kind of pretty before it gets started, ain't it? Oh, Frog Money Gordon, he did ride.
Creamball.
I can't believe we found that.
Well done.
I can't believe we found
that.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, if you are of a certain age, if you're a Chicagoan of a certain age and you came home from school to watch the cartoons at a certain time, you know exactly, you could picture that in your mind. Javier Baez will bat cleanup and play shortstop, okay?
Okay.
We're good. We're still good, right?
Yeah, I mean, Schwarber, Bryant, Rizzo, Baez.
Greenball.
Jason Hayward's in center.
Huh?
Victor Caratini's catching. Ooh. Carlos Gonzalez is in right. And Daniel Descalzo's at second.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go Bears!
That is a rough bottom third.
This Madden with these lineups.
I think Tyler Chatwood has the second or third highest weighted runs created plus on the Cubs.
Yeah.
With like nine at bat. But it's still, right. Those are numbers. Those are numbers that don't matter at all. A question's got to be asked, and it's been being asked. We have asked it a number of times. We will ask it of Jed Hoyer. At some point, you've got to get some production from that next outfielder's spot, whatever you – I mean, if you want to call the super platoon of Almora and Carlos Gonzalez what it is, or if you want to separate those into two individual players and second base – You've got to get that figured out. You have to have some sort of a different approach there because Addison Russell isn't cutting it offensively. Descalzo's not cutting it offensively.
Or defensively.
And, well, that's probably true, too. And David Bodie is essentially, he's your 105 weighted runs created plus guy. He's been fine. He's been decent enough. And he's, I count him as that next starter. I mean, given the way Joe works his at-bats in, Bodie's not an issue here, nor is he really the second baseman, not as Joe creates the lineup. So does he need a better option to get Bodie into the spots that he's most successful in?
Free Robel Garcia. free Robel
means
Garcia.
You gotta, means you got to free a 40-man spot. That means you got to say goodbye to somebody.
That means I launched Daniel Descalso into the sun. Because you know what that is? Sunk cost.
It's 1 million. I was just looking at it. It's 1 million for next year. He's got a club option or a $1 million option, and then it's whatever it is left on the money.
Or I just send Addison Russell down.
He's got options.
He's got options.
Yeah, he's got options. You can do that too.
Bad.
He's not been good.
Right.
He's not been. But you do lose your backup shortstop if you send down Addison Russell.
Yeah.
As much as I don't need him around the Cubs anymore. Well,
Bodie can get you out of a game
time,
there.
Can get you out of a game, but that is. I mean, listen. If you lose Javi, right. I mean, if you lose Javi Baez, you've lost much more than just your starting shortstop. Full stop. I mean, that guy is a cog, a full on star of an offensive player who's gone through a bad 3 weeks. But if you lose him, you've lost a whole lot more than just a defensive shortstop.
Jed Hoyer coming up at 11. Len Kasper coming up in just moments. Don't go anywhere. You have the score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Here it comes. Drive to left. Grand slam time.
Len Kasper.
Let's win.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, baby.
TV voice of the Cubs.
Hey, one other question about Chewbacca.
Yeah.
Does he still qualify for the Wookiee of the Year?
Slightly above average bassist.
Len Kasper playing the guitar, really into it.
Len Kasper.
Let's win.
With Bernstein and McKnight on the score.
Len Kasper is brought to you by Miracle, the musical inspired by the Chicago Cubs. He's on Twitter at Len Kasper, and he's on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Well, Len, we're in one of those things again. We're in one of those uncomfortable stretches with the Cubs that we know all too well, when it seems like the offense just can't go in the way that it needs to.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And, you know, I think the fact that they haven't had a lot of off days here lately, I think Joe would love to give Baez a rest. Yeah. He hasn't been able to do that. He's in the lineup cleaning up again today. You go through these stretches, it's not a lot of fun, especially when you lose the close games. I think each of the last two nights both felt very winnable if they could have come up with a couple of big hits late. The Braves are really good. I think the schedule has stiffened a little bit, too. I think the biggest thing about this homestand is going 3-3 over the first six against the White Sox and the Mets. And really good teams take care of business when they have to, especially when they're in their home ballpark. And right now, the Cubs have been pretty mediocre.
As they look for a little bit extra offense, maybe a hit or two extra in the lineup, second base is kind of a glaring issue. Daniel Descalso has not been good lately. Addison Russell still has the bruised hand. I heard you guys talking about that on the broadcast a little while ago. Still an issue for him, it seems?
Well, he had let go of the bat a little bit too much on the last road trip. Looked good last night, had a couple of hits, but I'm just not sure he's 100%. The good thing about Russell, he's not an excuse maker. He's not going to, you know, tell you that that's the reason I'm struggling, but he just doesn't look quite as comfortable to me at the plate as we're used to seeing when he's at his best.
We were looking at the Cubs as a top 10 on-base percentage team in baseball. They're a top 10 home run hitting team, yet it's not syncing up quite right. That you'd think getting guys on base and hitting multi-run home runs would be okay if you're top 10 in both of those categories. For whatever reason, it hasn't been enough. Why is that?
Well, I think inconsistency is part of it. They'll have days where they'll hit three or four home runs and they'll string together, you know, the five-run inning we saw the other night. And then they go in these 3 to 4 to 5 day stretches where it feels like they're either not getting a lot of hits, or when they do, you know, they're not cashing them in. I think the conundrum of the runners in scoring position thing has existed here for a while. You do have guys who strike out. I think they've gotten better at contact. Rizzo would be the main guy you think about who does take that two-strike approach, sometimes with less than two strikes depending on the situation. And the double play ball, that one is really hard to figure out. This is not a team that you think is a group that's going to hit the ball on the ground a ton, but here in recent days, it feels like a lot of rallies have been snuffed by the 6-4-3 double play ball. I really feel like those things go in cycles. There may be some frustration happening here too, but I still believe this is a pretty good offense, and it should get better at some point, especially now with the weather changing. The wind's starting to blow out at Wrigley Field. Teams come in and they hit home runs, and last night the Cubs hit a couple, but the Braves hit one with two men on, and that's the difference in the ball game.
What's your best guess, Len, as to how Adbert Alzolay ends up the next couple of months here? Is it possible that he does end up having to head back down to AAA?
Oh, sure. I think that's definitely a possibility. I think bullpen usage could be in play as well. I think the Cubs are still formulating those plans. I don't know if they necessarily know exactly how they want to use him. But the fact that he is still here with Craig Kimbrell joining the roster today is a good sign for him and says a lot about how he's looked these first two times out. I think everyone's been really impressed.
So what is the actual effect of players coming in and seeing Craig Kimbrell in their uniform? Are you a believer that this does change a mentality in a way that's tangible?
I have no idea generally, but I think players will tell you that it makes a difference, that it does give guys maybe a little extra confidence. You wonder how the bullpen guys are going to handle it, because while everyone, you know, says the right things and is happy that, you know, you have one of the elite closers of all time on your roster, it does put guys in less pressure situations, and I'm sure most guys would rather pitch in bigger situations. But for the needs of the team, there's no doubt that lining up everybody an inning earlier than normal is a good thing. I think the Kimbrell deal for this year in particular, because it's basically half a season, is on the margins, right? In the overall, maybe it buys you one or two extra wins, but as we learned last year, that can be the difference between having to play in the wild card game and moving into the next round without having to beat somebody at home in a one and done. I don't expect Kimbrell to come in here and all of a sudden he's worth, you know, 5 to 10 wins in the second half. He's probably only going to throw 35, 40 innings in the regular season. But it's a move for now. It's a move for October if the Cubs can get there. And it's certainly a move for the future because they signed him to a multi-year deal.
How many innings of those do you think will come in on traditional save situations? You know, the not by the book kind of stuff. Do you figure Joe is going to let the bullpen settle itself before he gets perhaps aggressive with Kimbrell?
Yeah, I would not expect to see him before the ninth inning anytime soon. I would not anticipate him pitching in more than two consecutive games over the first two or three weeks. I think it would be really surprising to see him come in with anybody on base. I think if it's a 3 or 4 run lead and he's ready, instead of starting with somebody else in the ninth and bringing Kimbrell in with men on base, I think Joe is looking at him right now as the very traditional one inning, start the ninth, finish the ninth closer.
Watching Darvish has become its own sort of sport this year. Within watching the Cubs, there's the whole the Darvish experience is its own and separate thing, and it always seems to be something. And everybody's rooting for him, everybody's pulling for him, everybody likes the guy, you know, from within and from without. But it just seems like when things start to look like they're going great, then there's a headwind or there's something else that occurs. How much of the Darvish narrative is real, and how much are we just projecting on him, this idea that things have to be perfect for him?
I think there is a lot of reality to it because he admits it. You know, he's talked a lot about how he feels before and after starts and how much it means to him to be good in this ballpark, how much it meant to him to pitch well at Dodger Stadium the other day after what happened in the World Series 2 years ago. But I think from a pitching perspective, it just comes back to fastball command, and he still struggles to throw that pitch for a strike early in the count. Feels like his cutter is the pitch he relies on the most when he has to. And until he commands that really good fastball, in terms of stuff, no one argues that it's the best on the staff in terms of starting pitchers. Until he's able to throw that for strikes early in counts, I think he's probably going to continue to battle some inconsistency. He was better after the rain delay, but the damage had already been done. So you feel like every time he pitches, there's a he was good here and here and here, but.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to get rid of the but and the however, and just have a he was great today. And I think everyone, including him, wants to get to that point and have it not just be once every four or five starts. That's the maddening thing about it, is we've seen glimpses of it. And he's had a few of those here over the last month that just he hasn't been able to string them together.
Talking with Cubs play-by-play man Len Casper here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. 10 games, including this one today against the Braves, until the All-Star break. There's one off day in between. It's 8, then the off day, then 2 against the White Sox. You know that, Len, I'm sure. But I'm setting it up for Cubs fans who might not know the schedule by heart. Do you figure that the Cubs are able to space out their rotation with Chatwood and Alzolay again before the All-Star break? Do they want to do that once more after it? What will your expectations be as to getting away from a five-man to give as much time as you can to the guys you want?
It's a great question. I think some of it depends on how Chatwood pitches today. You know, I could see them maybe kind of piggybacking somebody, maybe Chatwood and Alzolay the next time around, and stick with the five-man here over the last 10 days so everybody gets two starts, basically. I think they're still kind of formulating those ideas. The All-Star break comes at a really good time. By the end of this stretch, it'll be 50 games in 52 days. And this team maybe just is a little tired right now. And, you know, you talk about excuses or reasons. Whatever it is, they just have not played very crisp baseball. Defensively, haven't made all the plays here. You know, haven't turned double plays. Just kind of bad errors. You know, guys just dropping throws. You know, Baez made an error on the most routine of plays last night. Caratini had that throw he just dropped at first base the other day. And then the base running has been the most disappointing, because that's the kind of thing that's not really supposed to slump. And they've made way too many outs, way too overly aggressive. Whether that's pressing or not, I don't know.
Looks like it to me. It looks like guys trying to force a throw.
Yeah, and then what that does, and JD talked about it last night, and you don't want it to affect your smarts on the bases moving forward. Addison Russell, I think, probably made the right decision to not try for two on a single during the game. But, you know, and I said it's probably good based on the fact the Cubs have made so many outs here lately that he didn't push it. But JD's point was, well, no, you know, if it's the smart play to try to get that second base, do it. And you don't want the overly aggressive outs turning into passivity and guys not trying to push for a base when it really matters the most. So that's kind of the in-between area they're in right now.
In the discussion about the rotation and maybe expanding it, we didn't bring up Mike Montgomery's name much. He hasn't been all that effective as a reliever lately. He's got some value as a starter to perhaps somebody else that doesn't have a stacked rotation. Would you be shocked to see his name mentioned as something of trade value coming up here at the end of July?
That would surprise me. I think they view him as a pretty important piece here. Right now, it's as a bullpen member. There has been no discussion that I know of making him a starter again. I think as a spot starter in an emergency, you could do it. But I think they view him as a very important left-hander in the bullpen.
There you have it, Len Casper. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Bottom of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Western Conference champion Chicago Wolves would like to thank their loyal fans for making this 25th anniversary so special. Thank you, and see you in October. And the segment sponsored by Hint Water. Hint is pure, still, or sparkling water infused with a variety of fruit essences, including watermelon, blackberry, and cherry. No sugar, no sweeteners, no calories. Available in your local grocery store or at drinkhint.com. Hint, mouthwatering water.
The Midday Midway is on the way. I did something. I explored a brand new Chicago thing yesterday, and I can report back on a very precarious experiment. Plus, I'm going to get you a deal in Alabama.
All right. Well, we've got a high flyer making an appearance at Yankee Stadium. I've got the way that eventually the machines are going to beat us when Skynet becomes self-aware.
Well, yeah.
And I also have a business proposition that I'm going to have you assess as thumbs up or thumbs down, viable or not viable.
The Midday Midway is on the way. Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
The first half or the second half, you know, it's they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel it.
The Midday Midway with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
The Midday Midway is brought to you by Eon Clinics. And the first portion of our show featured more Darvishing as we try to deal with another Yu Darvish performance and sort through what it means, and looking at the Cubs by the numbers as objectively as we can to determine why they have struggled, why their Pythagorean record is three wins better than their actual record based on runs scored and runs allowed. Things just haven't kind of come together for them, and we're in one of those Cubs tough times that makes everybody nervous and unhappy and gives us crotch detachment and eye redness.
Let
and
me try and reattach that for
yes,
you.
Thank
Can
you.
I? I've got a little bit of news. Email just came from the Cubs. The Cubs today have recalled right-handed pitcher Craig Kimbrell from AAA Iowa to make room on the 25-man
roster. Not Kimbrell.
No, not that guy.
Okay.
Right-handed pitcher Tony Barnett was optioned to AAA. So it is official. Kimbrell is available and up today. So I did something yesterday. If you've been following the Midday Midway for a couple of, it's probably like a month and a half now, you've followed the story that we've been following. The city of Chicago has added what seems like 11 different companies to provide electric scooters for people to ride around on. I think it's going to be a disaster eventually because I've seen these in other cities with less traffic. We did a story from Phoenix where they were dredging the river that runs through Phoenix there, the Phoenix-Tempe area there.
It was also in Indianapolis,
also
same thing.
In the canal,
the canal in downtown Indianapolis, everybody was just throwing scooters
People
were
just taking scooters and chucking them in the river. I think we're due for the same kind of experiment, but if you're...
But ours is an actual river.
We've got a thing.
Right.
There's a lake over there, too.
Right. It's not a fake river that's only 2 feet deep.
Nope.
That is an actual river.
Different. So if you're west of the expressway, these scooters are working. There's a whole bunch of different companies. I decided to hop on a scooter yesterday and get around just to see how things are working. It's not going to make it, man. It is not going to work. Some of these just don't have the gas to keep you competitive with the bikes. You've got other bikers in this thing. You've got other scooterers in this lane. You've got a whole bunch of cars.
And editor.
Absolutely. And editors. You've got all kind of cars that are just infuriated with your presence. You're out there in the middle of traffic trying to make turns. And none of it gives you the mobility of a bicycle. You feel exposed out there. It's kind of fun to whip up and down Milwaukee for a little while, you know, kind of in those protected bike lanes that they've got.
That's where I was last night.
Other than that, not so much fun and pretty terrifying. I don't think it's going to make it.
No?
No,
If you're not down for it...
Remember, I was doing it too with a broken arm and probably shouldn't have been, but I could manage it. So maybe there's more mobility for somebody with it's a little more ambulatory, but that was dangerous. That was some scary stuff.
We have a newcomer to Yankee Stadium. A red-tailed hawk has been showing up in the last week or so and picking out perches all over the ballpark. DJ LeMahieu says, every game we're trying to figure out where he's at, what flagpole he's on. Right field foul pole? More like a foul pole, huh?
Oh,
and Zach Britton said, I guess it lives in the stadium.
Exactly.
And they're common, red-tailed hawks around New York. We know this. We read the story a while ago when there was one that somebody described as like as a brown eagle, which is not a thing that exists. But my nephew is an avid nature photographer and bird photographer who is Brooklyn-based but always comes into Central Park and often sees red-tailed hawks there. But this one is finding its life around Yankee Stadium, and that's because of the Pigeons. There are plenty there. And during a game last week...
The buffet.
During a game last week, the Hawk attacked a pigeon in midair, and they both crashed into the protective netting along the first baseline and fell separately into the seats. So all the more reason to add protective netting at ballparks from foul pole to foul pole just in case you've got an attacking red-tailed hawk, which is a large animal. But the hawk recovered and took up residence atop the screen behind the plate. The pigeon, not so lucky. And credit to the AP that the Yankees have had their brushes with hawks. Andy Hawkins won 15 games for them in 1989.
Sure.
Well-traveled reliever LaTroy Hawkins dropped by in 2008.
Yeah.
And in 1921, an outfielder named Nelson Lewis Hawks made his big league debut with the Yankees. The one hovering over Yankee Stadium does not have a name yet. The last time I remember something like this as a regular, it was an American kestrel that lived...
A kestrel,
which is...
I'm familiar with the kestrel.
A kestrel is a very small bird of prey. It is a raptor. It was in Minnesota, and they named it Kirby the Kestrel. And especially once the lights would take effect at night, drawing moths to the lights, Kirby the Kestrel would fly around grabbing moths.
Oh, that's a badass-looking bird.
They're small, though. They're very small.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not even as big as... It's probably about the size of a jay, even. Oh. They're songbird size.
So as I was scootering around town yesterday, I did have a destination. I didn't do anything, but a friend of mine scored tickets to the premiere, the sneak peek of Spider-Man Far From Home.
Oh, cool.
So I went to go see the movie last night, ran into Richard Roper of the Sun-Times. Nice to catch up with him. He's got his review out, and I'm with him on this movie review. Pretty decent way to launch the next phase of your Marvel movies after all of the stuff that was Endgame and the end of all of this. I don't want to give anything away. You've seen previews more than likely, but I felt at times it did have to do work to bring the scale of Marvel back from the end of, literally the end of everything, to a Spider-Man movie.
And give you the stakes, though.
Yeah,
I mean, the hardest thing to do is to make the scale smaller and make you believe that something important is at stake.
It was very hard to do, and you could see it doing work, but you didn't mind watching the work get done, if that makes any sense. Throughout the plot, there were things that worked out, and worth... Let's see, how shall I put this? Worth staying through the very end.
A quick detour around heavy traffic in Colorado turned into a nightmare for dozens of drivers who ended up stuck in the mud. A car accident brought cars to a standstill on a main road that leads to Denver International Airport. And as drivers were sitting in the traffic, their GPS applications suggested an alternate route around the backup that would cut their travel time in half.
All right,
great. Technology's awesome, right?
Yeah.
Well, Google Maps, according to one witness, said it asked us to take the tower exit. I did so because it was supposed to be half the time. It was 47 minutes from Tower Road to the terminal, so I went to the detour, which was supposed to take 23. That's Connie Monsees, who was driving, and she said the paved road turned into a dirt road. And she was a little skeptical, but saw other cars in front of her, so she continued following her GPS. And as she continued down the street, the conditions deteriorated due to recent storms, and the muddy road was too much for some cars, causing them to get stuck. The dirt road was only wide enough for one car, making it impossible for drivers to turn around. Her vehicle had all-wheel drive, so she was able to navigate the narrow road filled with ditches that caused damage to other cars. She said, "I tore up the inside passenger wheel well. Not that big of a deal compared to other people who tore their cars up and got themselves stuck." Guess how many cars ended up getting stuck on this road, which is privately owned and maintained?
Was it like 20?
100.
Oh, man.
100 cars. So I guarantee you our robot overlords are looking at how easily we can follow blindly where our GPS tells us to go as they are planning to take us over, just how easily we can be disrupted and stopped.
Speaking of cars, I have a deal for you. You may have to travel a little bit to get there, but in Chatham, Alabama, a car dealership there is getting national attention for its 4th of July promotion. It's Chatham Ford. They're located about an hour north of Mobile. And it's celebrating Independence Day by giving away a Bible, a 12-gauge shotgun, an American flag with every vehicle purchased.
Roll damn time.
It's a small gift to our valued customers and an opportunity for us to celebrate our independence, the car dealership says. According to the dealership, the first people to take advantage of the promotion was a couple who bought a Jeep and then got a Bible and a shotgun and an American flag. It applies to all new and used vehicles, Dan, so I can get you into any car you want for the low, low price of, you know, whatever we negotiate. Plus, you get a Bible, a shotgun, and an American flag. You do have to be 18 years or older. And it's nice to see this in the news copy. They are going to run background checks.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, so that's good, cute. At least. Somewhat responsible.
Which plays nicely into this. I want to introduce you to a new entertainment option if you live in Gilbert, Arizona. It's called Gun Club 82. And Gun Club 82 in Gilbert, Arizona, will feature a shooting range, a restaurant, and multiple bars.
Ah. Probably not a great idea.
You sure?
Probably not.
That's the idea. They want families
mm-hmm.
to enjoy a state-of-the-art shooting range and eat some food and hang out with friends. They claim that the mission statement is all about safety. The CEO and founder, Rod Ghani, says it's an unforgettable experience, and it's about safety. Safety is our top priority. A family can come and be in a safe environment. There's going to be no safer place to enjoy shooting. It's an 80,000-plus square foot facility. 24 shooting lanes. You can even rent a machine gun. And there are multiple bars. So apparently, they say they have a system in place where you have to scan your ID or driver's license when you drink. And if you drink, you'll not be able to shoot. You're automatically...
Okay, all right. Well,
hold on.
Good.
This is what they're saying. They're automatically locked out. Your ID gets scanned, and in order to rent a range lane, you must present that ID. And if you go with a group and one person in the group drinks, you will all be locked out from shooting. So what they envision is you can shoot and then eat and drink a bit and hang out with friends. They expect more than half the shooters at the range will be women.
No kidding.
Right. White! Yeah, so they'll be white.
Oh, a lot more than half. That is the midway. We do it every day here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Coming up, Cubs general manager Jed Hoyer. Don't go anywhere. 670 The Score.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.